Taking a look at your personal computer today with Peter Green of InfoStar of Madison, our personal computer consultant. I'm Larry Mueller. And before we talk with Pete, I want to ask for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Listener donations are the foundation of our budget, and that's why we're asking for your gift right now. So we want you to make your pledge right now at WPR.org or by calling us toll-free at 888-202-2552. And as always, Jim Packer joins me. And Jim, well, we got a goal this hour.
Indeed, Larry. We've got a goal of $12,000. And so every call is very important right now. Meeting the goal will help make the program possible in the months to come so that you can get all kinds of Peter Green forever. Your contribution of $60, $120, really any amount that you choose will help us get there. Make your pledge online at WPR.org. Or you can give us a call toll-free at 888-202-2552.
You know, every time Peter's on the program, he brings a lot of great information. I'm always amazed at the variety of questions we get. The number of problems people can have with their computers and their software is mind-boggling. And it's great to have an expert like Peter on to really give us the answers that we need. I hope you enjoy the kind of programming that we do here with Pete and with so many other guests, how it might enrich your life, and then make your contribution to support it. And you can do it at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
Larry, I know that we've done studies on this, and your telephone call will take less than 3 minutes. We need your name, contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay. Credit cards do save us some time and money, so we take Visa, MasterCard, American Express, and Discover. Please take these 2 minutes and 55 seconds right now. Give securely online at WPR.org, or you can call us at 888-202-2552.
You know, Peter is one of the comes with one of the topics that we cover pretty much every month on this program. He's here every month, as a matter of fact, to talk with us about your Mac, your personal computer. We have another guest who comes on and talks about Macs, but we also cover environmental issues, consumer issues, lots of advice or how-to type of topics. We like Wisconsin authors. We talk a lot about Wisconsin food. And you get a lot of great information from this program, and it's possible because of your financial support to Wisconsin Public Radio. You provide about a third of our annual budget. That's a lot. And I hope you'll support this program and all the other great programs you enjoy on Wisconsin Public Radio with your pledge. You can do it securely online. More and more people. I was talking to some folks this morning who said that the number of people going online and contributing is up significantly, and that's great. WPR.org is that address. It saves us a little money. That's why it's kind of nice if you can do it that way. If you can't, that's fine, too. Just call us at 888-202-2552.
You know, for a pledge of $120 or more, which is about $10 a month, you'll receive the WPR member card. And with this card, you'll get two-for-one entrees at various restaurants, two-for-one stays at participating B&Bs in Wisconsin, two-for-one admissions to cultural attractions. The participating venues are all over the state. It's a fitting benefit for a statewide network like Wisconsin Public Radio. So pledge your support to WPR right now. Get the member card for a pledge of $120 or more. You can pledge securely online at WPR.org or call toll-free at 888-202-2552.
You know, this pledge drive, we wanted to do something a little extra special, an extra thank you. And as a matter of fact, I was so enthused about this extra special that I wrote another check during my own program to get the Wisconsin Public Radio reusable shopping bag, Jim. I don't know if you've gotten one yet.
I haven't gotten one, but I should be looking at that, shouldn't I?
I tell you what, I wrote a check for considerably more than the $35 you need to get the bag. If you contribute $35 or more to Wisconsin Public Radio, we'll be happy to send you that reusable shopping bag in the attractive green color. It's an eco bag, and we're an eco-friendly station here with some eco-friendly guests. And I tell you what, if you would dip into your wallet and write out a check for at least $35, we'll send you one of those bags. And if you can contribute $1,200, we'll invite you to our Festa Monona, which will be held on June 27th. We'll tell you, that's just a little tease. We'll be talking more about that later. Whatever the amount, contribute now at 888-202-2552 or go online to WPR.org.
Larry, I do believe that in order to get the bag, they have to pledge online.
So, that's exactly right.
Okay, there you are.
There you are. You have to go online to get the bag. Forgot all about that. So WPR.org if you want to get the bag, $35 or more. And if you want to hear from Peter Green, you can do that too. Just give him a call at 1-800-642-1234. That's the number to call have your question answered from Pete. You can also email us at talk@WPR.org. Pete, welcome back.
Always great, Larry. I have to tell you, for the amount of years that we've been doing this, it's always an honor. Never take it for granted and just flattered to be part of it. And, if I can help one person, I always felt that it was worth it. So,
well, you do a great job, and we already have callers online to visit with you. We might as well just go to the phones.
Hey, wait, I got one bit of news.
One bit of news.
Windows is or Microsoft is releasing Service Pack 2 for Vista has been in beta. Mm-hmm. They've announced that they have a schedule of releasing it as far as to manufacturing, which mm-hmm. means it will be, shipping as part of, whatever machines. They're planning sometime after April 1st through June 30th. And then after that is typically when they will post what is the final product that went to manufacturing to the web. So it's available now, but it's really a beta. It's not, mm-hmm. Stamped and written in stone that this is really,
this
for
is it.
Service Pack 2. It's just under 400 meg. And what's notable about it is they've included a hard drive utility cleanup tool to conserve hard drive space from all the Vista packages that have updates that have wasted space. That's a little humor there. And then they've added improvements with emerging standards in a variety of technologies. Some are Bluetooth 2.1 support, additional Blu-ray media support, DirectX enhancements for gamers, and a variety of others. So there's kind of like this unwritten rule that by the time you get to Service Pack 2, that's about when the platform becomes stable. And then they're releasing it now because the anticipated Windows 7, which is down the road, they don't want people, waiting for Windows 7. They want them to take advantage of the Vista Service Pack 2.
All right. So there you have it. Jim in Bayfield County, we go to you now. Hi, Jim. Thank you for calling.
Hello, Larry. Hello, Peter.
Hi.
I have a problem with, a minor problem with my HP Pavilion desktop computer. It's been working fine. It's about 4 years old. It's been working fine. It has Windows XP on it. And just recently, just in the last couple of months, when I booted up in the morning, now when I shut down at night, I shut it all the way down and I have a power strip that powers it and I turn that off. So in the morning when I booted up, about one time out of 10 or one time out of 12, even though the computer fires up, the monitor doesn't. It's just a kind of a frustrating thing where you can hear the computer's working, you can see that the idiot light on the computer is flashing, the keyboard, there's a little light that comes on the keyboard, so everything works except the monitor. And the only thing I can do, because I can't see what's going on, the only thing I can do is a cold shutdown, which is, I've heard, is not a good thing to do. And when it comes up the second time, it always comes up in safe mode, asks me what I want to do, and then it boots up correctly.
Hmm. Huh. So it sounds like it's going through all the steps to actually boot up, but you can't see anything on the monitor.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it's always, and you say one out of every 10. It's not a bad thing to shut it down, you know, just shutting it off. It just forces Windows to go through that, you know, that menu with the safe mode. It's not harming anything. It's just that what happens is Windows acknowledges that it didn't shut down properly and there's some files it needs to clean up, and it wants you to know that that's what had happened. It's really hard to diagnose out unless things outright fail and then you replace parts.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not, it's the video card that's having syncing problems with your monitor, or if it's the monitor that's having the problems one time out of ten. The easiest way is if you have a spare monitor, is to switch the monitor and see if, you know, the one time out of ten doesn't come back. Then you know it's the monitor that's the problem. The more tedious or, you know, the more work to replace the video card, if the video card is replaceable, is to, you know, get another video card, put it in the computer, and then have it interface through that new video card. A lot of the systems that are out there that are sold, probably, I've got to say, at least in the past 5 years, have got integrated video cards unless you specifically know you have a separate video card. And what happens is you put in that new video card into a slot in the computer, and then you're going to do an installation with device drivers and so forth, and it'll work off of that video port. So that's the only really way to figure out what's causing the problem. You know, where you're not seeing video for that one out of 10 times.
Hook it up to a new monitor or a different one.
Right. To wait for outright failure, then it's a guess. Is it the monitor? So you go out and get the monitor and you put the monitor on. And if it works, then you knew it was the monitor all along. If not, then you probably will take it into a shop and they'll say, you know, we need to replace the video card, or it might be. There might be something on the main board that may actually be another issue, an over a capacitor or something. So,
yeah. So, but I guess the key issue here, it does not hurt it to shut it down.
No. It's just Windows just wants you to know that it didn't shut down properly, and you know you're aware of what the issue is, so you're not really. It's not something you like to see on a regular basis, but, you know, one out every 10 times, if you do disk cleanup through the control panel, or if you go system accessories, the start button and accessories and system tools, and then disk cleanup, you'll get rid of all the files that, all the junk files.
All right. Good luck. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. Peter Green of InfoStar of Madison, our personal computer consultant. Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll take some more calls right now, and Kate in Burlington is up next. Kate, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. So glad I could call in about this question, and I'm a avid public radio listener. I give to public radio, and I love to be able to go online on your website and, you know, listen to past shows or send something to you guys. And I cannot go online to only Wisconsin Public Radio's website. And I want to know why that is.
You can get on to everybody else except WPR.org?
Yes. It's driving me nutty.
Now, have you tried, do you have just one browser on your system or do you have two browsers?
Oh, you know what? What does that mean?
Internet Explorer.
That's what I have.
Mozilla or Firefox or Opera.
I have Internet Explorer.
Uh-huh.
And I always could go on. It was fine. And it seemed like in January, mm-hmm. I thought, oh, they must be down. You know, must not be working. So then I went on a trip down to Mexico and I thought, oh, I want to tell you guys about my trip and I want to recommend a speaker. And then I couldn't go on again. I thought, this is weird. And I went to a friend's house. She does Internet Explorer and... Mm-hmm. Wisconsin Public Radio came up fine on her computer.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I was just going to ask you to check and see if you could do it with another web browser if it's...
Firefox or one of the others.
Yeah, see if it's...
They recommended that, and I was just scared to download something.
No. When you go, you can go to mozilla.com or .org, M-O-Z-I-L-L-A.
Okay.
And there's a download link right there. And then just know where you saved it onto your system and then run it, and it'll run through the install.
Okay.
Have you tried clearing the cache or the temporary internet files on your web browser at all?
I did try to do that. Mm-hmm. I did everything. I took it all out, and then I even went to, like, tools and was trying to figure out, like, did I block you guys accidentally or, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. But no, I did that too.
Mm-hmm. Have you tried doing, like, an actual search through something like Google and then clicking on that link to follow
yep.
it through?
And then the other weird thing
What does it actually do?
It just says website not found, or, you know, it's like it comes up with that message that you get if like, a website is offline or you put in the wrong thing. And then the other thing that's weird is during the pledge drive, the pledge page will come up, and then it counts down. It goes 10, 9, 8, you know, and then it's going to send you directly then to the home page within so many seconds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That page will come up, but as soon as I click on the just go directly to the home page, or if I wait for the time to, you know, go past, it'll say internet site not found. Isn't that weird?
Now, have you tried it you haven't tried it on Mozilla or any of the other websites?
Well, I'll try.
Our search engines.
I would try with an alternative browser. I know I've seen times where Internet Explorer's had issues with whether or not it's scripting or some web-enabled app that is being used on a website, and for whatever reason it is not agreeing with the browser on your system, but an alternative browser works. So that's why I always recommend to have at least a couple of browsers on your machine. The key thing to know is that in order to do any kind of upgrades on your system through Microsoft, you have to use Internet Explorer, because they use what are called ActiveX controls to interact with your system.
Oh.
So if you're ever trying to update your operating system, you always need to use their Internet Explorer.
Okay. And so should I call you back in a month if that doesn't work?
You call.
Sure, or you can email me.
Shoot us an email.
If you go to infostar.com and, you know, just click off of the email on any of the pages there, it'll come to me. And just make sure you put in your header, you know, wpr.org problem loading website, and then
okay.
I'll be able to find it.
Thank you.
Yep. Thanks, Kate. We definitely want you to be able to get yeah. to our website. There's
I remember
no
years ago,
that.
I think someone had a problem with that, and I don't know what we heard back. I think it might have been I know I've seen problems where Internet Explorer has behavior difficulties, but getting an alternative browser seems to fix that.
It's something that's very similar thing, only it wasn't WPR.org. It was another one, and I just switched search engines, and I found it right away on the other engine. Mm-hmm. So it was really strange.
Yep.
You don't know why that little glitch is there, but there it is. Annette and Baron, we'll go to you. Hi, Annette.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm having a problem with my screen on my laptop. It's dark. I can see, you know, the pictures, but it's quite dark. And my son was here, and he was helping me defragment all the stuff because it was a little slow. Since then, it's dark. And I went into my control panel. I did get it lighter, and then another child came home and was working on it. Now it's dark again, and I can't write.
You know, on laptops, there's there's a keyboard combination that allows you to adjust for brightness
uh-huh.
on the screen. Have you tried that at all?
No.
If you, you probably, I don't have it memorized, but it's usually somewhere around F3, F4, F5. But
okay.
if you press the function key on your keyboard, and if you look at your keyboard at the very top where you have mm-hmm. Your numbers, you might have... Might be like a blue, in a light blue color or
uh-huh.
something.
Or a little lamp or something.
Where it's defining the function keys for you.
Uh-huh.
And you might...
I tried that. It's on my F5. It's like a sun with an arrow up. And then there's
uh-huh.
F4 is like a sun with an arrow down.
Uh-huh.
So the arrow up should have...
Any luck in...
So I'm pushing on that and no.
But don't you have to also push on another...
No, it's control? Usually you hold the function key down and then you push on the...
Yeah, you hold the function key down.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm doing that and I'm not seeing anything.
Huh.
Got the function key down and you're pushing on the brain.
Both of them, uh-huh. Huh.
Well, that's the one option that I can think of through the keyboard. An alternative... So have you been able to have...
It is lightening a little bit, all right, but do I have to hold it down for...
Yeah, you have to do it successive times. It's an incremental adjustment.
Okay, so, yeah, it is lightening. Well, that's great.
There you go.
Someone pressed that combination to turn it down, so they never told you that they were doing that.
So now you know, Annette.
Now I know.
Thanks a lot for calling.
There are other alternatives or other functions that you can do. That's, you know, one messing with the brightness. Another one is hooking up an alternative external monitor to go between, you know, your laptop and another monitor. There are other features there. You might want to take a look at your user guide. It'll tell you a lot more.
Yeah. Thanks for calling, Annette. Appreciate the call. Peter in, let's see, where are we? Lake Seneca, is it? Hi, Pete.
Geneva.
Oh, I'm sorry, where? Oh, Lake Geneva. Ah, oh, gotcha. Okay.
It's probably frozen over.
Yeah, it is.
Any good pond hockey out there?
I don't know. They've got, up in Burlington, they've got a one of these where they raise money for, I think it's the... one of the clubs out there where they put a car out on the ice.
Oh, yeah, when it sinks?
Yeah, when it sinks, you know, they award the money.
Lake Tanner does that, too, in northern Wisconsin. Well, I'm sure you didn't have a question about that car. How can we help you?
I didn't. My question was, I have a digital camera I've been doing this for about a year and a half now. Whenever I hook up the camera, it brings up Microsoft Word, which I don't have beyond a trial version, which has since expired. Why would it bring up Microsoft Word?
It's somehow linked as the application to launch when you...
How do I unlink it? You know?
So when you interface to your camera, it's bringing up Microsoft Word?
Yep.
It's automatically launching it?
Yeah, and then I get the warning that it's expired, and you know you want to reactivate it and all that.
You could probably do a Google search on something like that, but where you're going to find that is if you launch Windows Explorer. I believe it's across the top menus. It's under Tools, and you have to find, there's folder options, and then there are program associations. You're going to have to pry around in there.
Okay.
And what it is that the association of Microsoft Word has taken precedence over probably launching like Viewer or something, you know, where it's giving you an option to, you know, what do you want to do with your the files on your camera. I would probably do a Google search on changing.
It's just an annoyance.
Yeah.
I mean, I can, after I go through this and then close it, and then I open up, open up my computer, and there the camera is. You know, you can do what you need to do from there.
Right. Doing a search on something like changing. Program associations with camera pictures,
photos.
Yeah, you'll probably find some help on that. It's just a procedure you got to go through, and if you don't change the association correctly, you'll probably associate it with something else that you don't want. So
yeah, that could be too. I also have the problem with certain websites not loading in Internet Explorer too, like she did. My fiance and I are both Yahoo users, and we find out it's hard to get to Yahoo with Internet Explorer, but we run Firefox too.
Yeah.
So.
possibly because of Microsoft having issues with Yahoo not being wanting to be acquired.
Yeah. Maybe that's one of the little, you know, inner workings to make make them look a little better.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, thank you very much
for
calling.
Thanks.
Appreciate your call. Peter Green of InfoStar of Madison, our personal computer consultant with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, really happy to have you listening in today. And I tell you what, this is the last day of our membership drive, the very last day of the membership drive. And in fact, we're now in about the last hour of the membership, about 90 minutes of the membership drive. And so if you've been thinking about contributing, I tell you what, I hope you'll do it right now. We're in that last portion of the drive. Just to get us over the top here, you can help us out. Give securely online at WPR.org or call us toll-free at 888-202-2552. Jim Packer just joined us again. And, Jim, we've got a mountain to climb.
We do, Larry, because we've got a goal of $12,000, and we've got a ways to go, a little more than $11,000 to reach that. And we've got just under an hour. So it's a doable goal, and it starts with your phone call at 888-202-2552. Or you can contribute right now securely online at WPR.org.
You know, we've already had three or four people have their questions answered by Peter today. And, you hear guests, great guests, all day long on the Ideas Network. We have 9.5 hours of locally made call-in programs a day here on Wisconsin Public Radio. And this is really a unique radio service in the nation, as a matter of fact. What is it worth to you? Tell you what, we had a Patricia in Burlington says commuting without Wisconsin Public Radio would be terrible. I can't live without it. Someone else phoned in and with a contribution and said they moved out of state, but they still listen to Wisconsin Public Radio because of the great programs that we have here. Your contributions make all those programs possible. So pledge right now online at WPR.org. Or call us toll-free at 888-202-2552.
Larry, when you think of it, you'll find that most people spend a lot more each day for things that they value less. A $10 contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio is just over 30 cents a day. So why not spend a little right now and get a lot in return? You can make your donation at WPR.org and do your part. Or you can call 888-202-2552. I see that Jim and Karen in Rolling Stone, Minnesota, have been listeners to Wisconsin Public Radio for 35 years. 35 is a magic word because a $35 pledge we'll send along the recyclable shopping bag that will contain the Wisconsin Public Radio logo, and it'll make you a much more aware shopper.
It'll make you a much more aware shopper. But here's another deal, Jim. If we had, I'd say about 7 people contribute at that $1,200 level, the music would come to play, wouldn't it?
It would come to play, and it will come to play on June 27th.
You bet.
For those guests who are at your house over on Lake Monona, it's going to be the Festa Italiana, otherwise known as Larry's Little Italy. And we've got a wonderful meal planned for you. And if I may, let me just run through the menu.
All right.
The chicken panzanella, which is the roasted and hand-picked chicken with rustic croutons, arugula, pine nuts, and a lemon rosemary vinaigrette. A wood-grilled beef tenderloin salad, an avocado and watercress potato salad, market green salad, and then a buttermilk panna cotta with berry compote served out of a Demitasse cup that Larry has lying around in his cupboard.
All that for a $1,200 contribution at 888-202-2552 or by going online to WPR.org. We're going to have a lot of fun on June 27th. We have 7 pairs of tickets left, and today's the last day to get those tickets.
That's right.
I'll tell you what, if you haven't been thinking about it, Here we are in the last hour, $1,200 contribution. If we had like seven people do that, we would really be on our way to making that $11,000 goal. In fact, we'd be about there. So why not contribute $1,200? Or maybe you want to contribute $120 or $250, whatever the amount. This is the time to do it. Call us at 888-202-2552. Go online to WPR.org. We will be happy to take whatever amount you want to contribute. And tell you what, thanks to everybody who's contributed so far. But if you haven't contributed, boy, now is really the time to do it, because time is just about done. We're about over. Need your help. Let's take some more calls here with Peter Green of InfoStar of Madison, our personal computer consultant. Jerry in Dakota, Minnesota, up next with a question for you, Pete. And let's go to Jerry. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, guys. What's Hi. Happening?
Well,
I contributed $80 to Wisconsin Public TV, so I suppose I should contribute something to you guys, huh?
That would be wonderful. That'd be wonderful, awesome. Jerry.
How about $80?
That sounds great.
I'll do that after we get done here.
All right.
But I caught that contributing thing. Anyway, the reason I'm calling is I'm every time I use first of all, I have Internet Explorer 8 and Kaspersky 9 on my computer. And every time I go to Yahoo, I get this security warning, little pop-up window, and it says the current web page is trying to open a site on the Internet. Do you want to allow this? And the current site is Yieldmaster, and the Internet site is ieframe.dll. And I just I hate that thing. Every time I go on there, and I also when I go on some various sites, some sites where that same thing will pop up. I think it's just a marketing thing. And can I get rid of that, Peter?
It sounds to me that there's something lingering on your system that has gotten through, and it's triggering itself. You may want to do a search on both those things. You said the IE frame.
Yieldmaster and IE frame, yeah.
Yeah, and see what you can come up with. there are literally hundreds of thousands of these things that are out there, and some of them even morph when they're on your system, which makes it even more difficult for them to remove. And something triggers them. So I would do a search to see, you know, what else you can use to get rid of that. There's probably a tool out there or someone's come up with a solution for that.
Yeah.
I know how annoying they can be.
What should I search?
Search on both those.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You might want to use them in combination, or you might want to use them by themselves. And just because you don't come up with an answer right away, read what you find. And some of those answers might lead you to, you know, how to get rid of it.
Okay, just do a Google search or whatever, right?
Right.
Okay, you're fine.
What I always try to tell people is when you're doing a search, always read through even the ones that don't look like they're the answers, because you learn how to ask the questions better to get the answer.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because if you're not getting the right answer, there might be a different way for you to phrase it.
Yep. Good luck. Thanks, Jerry, for calling. Mike in Milwaukee, we're on to you now. Hi, Mike.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I got the bug to buy a laptop. I'm at school over at UWM, and I get to use their computers, and I get to use the computers at the Milwaukee Public Library. And so I've been avoiding this thing, but now all of a sudden I have to look into it. Well, I went to Consumers Reports, and they tell me one out of five laptops is going to fail. You know, that's the statement they make right out. Yeah. And they said, don't buy the warranties because you can repair it for the price of the warranties over a period of years.
Right.
The thing that I want to do is I want to show some PowerPoint, and I want to be able to use Dragon Speak.
Okay.
And those are the only two things that I want to do.
Okay.
I don't care about anything else. But, boy, oh, boy, with all the acronyms and the numbers and this and that, I called Dragon Speak. They said they want three gigabytes of RAM,
right,
and 80 plus hard drive.
Right.
But I don't know, you know, do you buy a used unit? Do you buy a new one? What do you do? I mean,
well, I can tell you, you know, in terms of minimums that I look for in a laptop, I would say 3 to 4 gigs of RAM. Hard drive, I would say, you know, 250 is probably the minimum. You could probably get by with less, but usually in that range, you also find things like wireless N for the wireless networking. To me, B and G is okay, but I prefer to have N because the reception is just better, and the throughput is going to be better. The screen size, you know, do you need a 15? Do you want, you know, a 17?
Doesn't matter.
But all those,
if it gets too big, it's hard to carry around.
Right. All those start to affect, you know, the price on the unit. Usually something that has a 15.4-inch screen, 3 gigs of memory, probably 180 to 250 gig hard drive and wireless N, you might be able to find things in the price range of $400 to $500.
Really?
And they'll probably have some kind of Intel Core Duo processor that'll be more than adequate for what you want to do.
Oh, wonderful! I'll tell you what, I'll email you. And what about a projector? You know, like if I'm going to show PowerPoint.
Okay. Here's the thing that I love about you know, doing PowerPoint is the side benefit. You can also use them for home theaters.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to watch movies on them, you can do it that way too, or play, you know, a movie on your laptop and, you know, run it through the projector.
Right, but those bulbs are like 300 plus.
Yeah, the bulbs are expensive. However, the bulbs are rated for 3,000, maybe 4,000 hours of use if you put them in what they call the Eco Quiet mode. Okay, so I have at home, I have a Sharp XR32X. There's also a Sharp XR32S. The S model is the Super VGA, so that's like the 800 by 600 resolution, and the X version is the 1024 by 768. Mm-hmm. So it gives you a little bit, you know, better Super VGA, you know, enhanced mm-hmm. Super VGA. They go on sale every so often, and I recently saw the 32S model on sale for just over $400. Mm. So while the bulb might cost, you know, $250 to $300, they were selling the unit with, you know, the remote for just over
with
$400 with
a
rebate. Typically, you'll find them in the $600-$700 price range.
Yeah.
And so those work great, and they also support HD. So they'll support the full range of 480i, 480p, 720p, mm-hmm. 1080i, and 1080p in the 60 frames per second versus mm-hmm. Blu-ray, which is 24. However, I've interfaced mine with a Blu-ray player, and it knows how to negotiate and still puts out the 1080p at the 60 frames. So
there you have it.
Well, okay, $1,300, and I'm in business.
You could probably find projectors for less, but I had a Sharp, and I think the bulb kicked, you know, on the first unit probably after about 2,600 hours of use, and, you know, it took, I don't know, 2.5 years.
Yeah.
It was pretty,
pretty good.
Pretty good.
Good luck. Thanks, Mike. Christina in Glenwood, we'll turn to you next. Hi, Christina.
Hi there. Thank you.
Hi.
I'm not sure if you can answer this question, but if a person had a tracking device, say on their phone, their vehicle, or in their home, kind of similar to a baby cam, how would you find that on the computer, say if they work through like a satellite or GPS type of situation?
You mean you're wondering if you have one on your system?
Well, I'm wondering if I were going to look on a computer and check to see if a situation, if you had this on your system, can you do that through Windows Explorer?
You mean like a, so you're saying like a GPS device?
If you had, say, I was reading in a magazine where you could monitor a kid by putting some type of little disc in their phone, as an example, or in the vehicle or in the house,
okay.
And then you can look on your computer. Well, if you wanted to determine if you did, in fact, have something like that,
uh-huh.
I'm just guessing that a quick way might be just to look at your computer.
Well,
have you ever heard of anything like that?
I mean, there are, you'd have to install it on your computer. You know,
right. So if it were installed on your computer.
Right. Then it would probably be listed under programs because you would have some, you know, software mm-hmm. interface to talk to it.
Right.
So you just have to scan through. You hit start and then programs and then look at all the different programs you have on your system. And one of them would probably, you know, have a name that would allude to, you know, either GPS or tracking or
GPS or tracking.
Yeah, they're typically software controlled.
So. Sure, so that makes sense then, just go into the programs and see what type
right.
of programs
yep.
they're
yep.
listening. Okay, just what I needed. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Chris emailed and says, my computer is 6 or 7 years old. It's a little like an earlier call. Seems to be slowing down a little, but it's functioning pretty well. I'm getting a little worried about its age and wondering when you recommend what you recommend for a time to upgrade.
Time to upgrade is always when you feel like you're ready for the next step. Some people, you know, upgrade their computers every 3 years, 5 years. As long as you're able to do what you need to get done with the computer, you know, if you're using it for email and web browsing and occasional letters, and maybe you're doing bookkeeping with Quicken or QuickBooks or whatever, or your taxes, and it's still working fine, then you really don't need to upgrade it. But if you're a heavy-duty gamer and, you know, you get the latest upgrade to a game and it's not working because it needs more, then that's time to make a change.
And in the meantime, be backing up.
Correct.
Backing up your...
I would invest in a backup because you're going to need that. You know, if you haven't already done so, I would, look at investing in an external hard drive or a jump drive or something to make sure you're backing up your stuff. So if it does fail, then you're ready to take the next plunge.
Yeah. And when I think about investing, I also think about investing in Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the last day of our membership drive. We're here to raise money. In fact, the last hour of the membership drive. And we're here to raise the money Wisconsin Public Radio needs to pay for the programs that keep you in the know and entertained. That's how public radio works. The people who use it help pay for it. So please call now to ensure that you can continue to enjoy this service. You've been meaning to give, maybe? Well, now's the time to do it on the last day of the drive. Wisconsin Public Radio needs your help. Go to WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552. Jim Packer joining us. Jim, our goal is...
Still $12,000.
Yes.
And we've got nine new members have called out of 13 that we've heard from so far the hour, and for $1,175. So we've got a ways to go to make that $12,000 goal. And what we would like is your phone call and your pledge to help make this program possible. You can contribute right now securely online at WPR.org. Or call us toll-free at 888-202-2552.
Do it right now. Peter Green is, I think, a good example of the caliber of guests you hear every day on Wisconsin Public Radio. What's it worth to you to have access to guests like Pete and the other great guests that we have? And they're great information. Think about it, then make your pledge online at WPR.org or call us toll-free at 888-202-2552.
Larry, you've heard of pass the hat, pay the cover,
yep.
buy a ticket. Many ways to say it, but the request is the same. Please pay for what you use, and you can do that right now for Wisconsin Public Radio. Go to WPR.org. It's very easy. Or you can call 888-202-2552. That's easy, too. And the price is whatever you decide. It could be a dollar a week. It could be a dollar a day. It could be $1,200 to get entree into Larry's party on June 27th. You make the choice. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Maybe you find that Wisconsin Public Radio is a companion during your day. I know Kyle and Carol from Bailey's Harbor phoned in, and being visually impaired, the radio is a utmost importance to me, Kyle or Carol says. Well, maybe it is to you. You may or may not be visually impaired, but Wisconsin Public Radio, I know, means a lot to many, many people. If you pledge online at WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552, you do it right now. Your contribution really provides essential support for the programming you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. And maybe you can make a $1,200 contribution. You can hear the Italian music in the background as we talk about the Festa Monona at Larry's Little Italy. I'll be there. Joy Cardine will be there. Jim Packard will be there. Cheryl Gasser will be there, plus a host of Wisconsin Public Radio listeners who will be coming. And I'll tell you what, we have a great meal, chicken panzanella, one of the items on the agenda. We live right on Lake Monona. Beautiful view of the capital from there. I've got my gondola boat all ready to go. Weather permitting, we'll have some boat rides around the lake. Scott and Candy Craven, our wildlife ecologist, will be there. I might ask Scott to do some of the boat driving. But it's a special event. It's limited to the 15 pair. We have 7 pair left. So make your call or pledge right now in support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Love to see another one of those pairs of tickets go. It's yours for a $1,200 contribution. The date is June 27th. So pledge online at WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552 and do it now.
Larry, we've got that goal of $12,000 to raise before 12:30 today, and we want to make sure that we get as close to that as possible. So far, 15, or make it 14 people have called, 10 of them with our new pledgers. We really thank them for responding. We've raised $1,210, and so we have a ways to go. And why not make your pledge right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We've heard from Jerry in Dakota, Minnesota. Wisconsin Public Radio has programming you can't get anywhere else. Clara in Pewaukee, she says, Wisconsin Public Radio is the only station I can get at work, and I love it. Well, that's a pretty good deal. I like the fact that you can get Wisconsin Public Radio and perhaps none of the other radio stations. Patricia in Burlington says, commuting without the Wisconsin Public Radio would be terrible. I can't live without it. Gwenda in Waukesha has a radio in every room of her house, and they're all turned to Wisconsin Public Radio. I tell you what, Gwenda, I love you for that. Thank you so much. And thanks to everybody who's contributed so far. But we have a big goal here to reach in this last hour of our pledge drive. It's $12,000. We have a long way to go yet. But we could do it. We get rid of all those tickets we have left, those 7 pair. We'd be right there, Jim. $1,200 contribution would get you that donation or that invitation to dinner at Larry's on June 27th. But if it's $1,200 or $120 or $250 or $500, you make the decision, then call in or go online. Go online first to WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552.
It's easy to take Wisconsin Public Radio for granted. You turn the radio on to WPR and each time you hear something good. If you travel around the country, you will realize what a gem we have here in Wisconsin. Many listeners return from road trips and tell us they have a new appreciation for WPR. We're proud of what we have here. You're proud, too, because you make it possible with your support. So don't take it for granted. It's something special, and help make it possible with your pledge. Online at WPR.org or toll-free at 888-202-2552.
It really is an important decision to make. Whether you want to be a listener or a listener contributor, well, if you want to be a contributor and a listener, here's how you make it happen. Go to WPR.org. There's a little form to fill in there online, and you'll be done. And for any contribution of online of $35 or more, we'll certainly send you the very attractive Wisconsin Public Radio shopping bag. And I'll tell you what, $1,200 will be glad to give you a pair of tickets, too. Just do it right now. It takes about 3 minutes online. You'll be helping to pay for the great news, the great information, and entertainment that you get every single day of the year. That's WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Either way, you'll be doing your part to support the programming that you count on.
And if you have never pledged to Wisconsin Public Radio before, now is the time to do it for a pledge of $35, and that's on the web only at WPR.org. You can receive the WPR logo reusable shopping bag. It's handy. It's lightweight. It folds into its own pouch. It's just about the size, small package of Kleenex. And $35 is a great place to start giving. We'd love to have you as a brand new member if you've never pledged before. Go to WPR.org, pledge $35, and select the WPR bag from the thank you gift drop-down. That's at WPR.org.
You know, you can make your pledge payment using electronic funds transfer, EFT as it's called. You authorize us to withdraw your monthly pledge amount from your bank account, so could be $10 a month or $100 a month or whatever you want. Your installments are deducted automatically. And we'll help you get started when you make your pledge at WPR.org or calling us at 888-202-2552. We'll be glad to help out, won't we, Jim?
We will indeed. And today is the last day of the winter membership drive. If you have not yet pledged, now is the time to do it. Your contribution directly supports Wisconsin Public Radio's work. It makes possible the 800 service that many of you use to call in from around the state. Your pledge in any amount is important, makes the program possible. So go to WPR.org or call us toll-free at 888-202-2552.
We are in the last hour of the drive. This is the last day of our membership drive. If you haven't pledged yet, and you've been thinking about it, don't think any longer. This is the time to do it. Your contribution really helps support Wisconsin Public Radio's work. Your pledge in any amount is important and makes this program possible. So donate now securely online at WPR.org or call us at toll-free 888-202-2552. And I tell you what, Peter Green will be answering more of your calls after we take a look at the news here on the Ideas Network. Talking personal computers today with Peter Green of InfoStar of Madison, our personal computer consultant, Larry Mueller here. Glad to have you listening in. And at this time of the show, Pete always does a top 10 list for us. Pete, what have you got for us today?
Okay, if you go to InfoStar.com, click on the current top 10 or the archives and scroll down to today's date, you will find them there. This first one is by MIT Review, so the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and it's just called technologyreview.com, and you'll find lots of excellent stuff there. The next one is Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, and it's the nation's premier policy organization working on federal and state-level fiscal policy, so it's called CBPP.org. This next one covers alternative medicine forums, and it's called CureZone.com. Another one I know it's been mentioned on Wisconsin Public Radio. It's called StimulusWatch.org. And if you haven't been there, it's just an interesting site to see how the stimulus money is being invested. So just StimulusWatch.org. This next one, if you work in small groups at work or if you want to share files with friends, getdropbox.com is a great site, and there are other solutions as well that I listed there. you know, we didn't think about this last year at this time, but different parts of the state, you know, we have this change in weather, flooding, thawing, yeah, and so forth. Hopefully someone's paying attention to this at a government level. Floodsmart.gov. Official site of the National Flood Insurance Program, because remember we had Lake Delton last year. So
among other things.
You know, and it's just March now, but you know that kind of season's coming up quick. A popular HDTV online forum is found at highdefforum.com. And I like the name of this next one. You can search among 4.7 million plus product reviews, and it's called bazillions.com. Bazillions. The next one, number nine, is a handbill collection of nearly a million pages built by people. It's just giving you a free, easy place to set up a web page, and it's called Squidoo, Squidoo.com. And this next, the last one is a social media guide, and it's called Mashable.com, M-A-S-H-A-B-L-E.com.
And all those are up on your website.
All those in over 10 years.
Yeah, worth on Infostar.com.
Correct.
All right, Bill and Nina has a question for you. Let's go to Bill. Bill, hi.
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 On a multifunction printer scanner at work, a black and white text page will scan about 35 megabytes, and at home, 800 megabytes. And I don't see the multifunction at home with a compression alternative. Am I getting compression secretly at work that I'm not getting at home on a different kind of machine that's scanning for me?
So are you scanning, you know, just like text or pictures? Or
text, single sheet of paper.
Uh-huh. What you may want to look at, the difference is, you know, if you look at the default settings for when you're scanning, is going to make a determination of how heavy that page is, how much space it occupies, whether it's doing it at at a minimum would be 150 dots per inch.
Yeah, I'm using versus 200 on both.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I've searched for compression options on the little machine at home.
How about for the in terms of the type of output, you know, what
PDF.
You're actually, they're both PDF pages?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just simple black and white text PDF, non-scannable or...
Yeah, it could also be, you know, and use two different systems, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it could also be the PDF format that is being used because do you have the same Adobe PDF that's, you know, the software that's installed on your home system and your work system?
Probably not. I don't know what the version is on the work system. It's a big, you know, a really heavy-duty big machine.
Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe they got some secret compression software in there with it.
Yeah. You might want to take a look and see if there's a way to change some of the preferences as related to the PDF that you're saving. Because even that, to me, even the you said 35 meg and 800?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds pretty high.
That's driving me crazy.
Yeah, because we scan PDFs, you know, just text and create PDFs, and we get stuff in the K range, you know, a lot smaller.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I'm sorry. Make that all kilobytes.
Uh-huh.
35.
Okay.
35,000 bytes, 35 right. kilobytes versus yeah. 800
right.
kilobytes.
Yeah. I would look and see if you can make any changes in the preferences. Are they HP scanners?
The work is a Ricoh, big
uh-huh.
one, and
okay.
the home one is a late model, little HP.
Mm-hmm. It might not actually be in the scanner software. It might actually be in what they sometimes call like a solution center or some other product that you may have to make changes to that interfaces with it.
Oh, so, other piece of software.
Yeah, that may have been installed as like a suite that, you know, was for the scanner and the printer and so forth. So you may want to take a look at that.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you.
Yep, thanks for calling. Carol in Madison, your turn. Hi, Carol.
Hi. Through kind of a weird set of circumstances, I have a laptop that's about 2 years old but is new in the box, never been turned on or anything.
Okay.
It has Windows XP Media Center 2005 plus some a Vista upgrade that I guess could be installed on it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if this is something that that I could watch digital television on. I'm one of those people who hasn't switched over yet, and I'm just curious about that when I decide whether or not I want to keep the computer. That might be a consideration.
You could watch... what you're alluding to, digital television, you would have to have some interface to bring that signal in, okay? So whether or not it's a USB device or if you have what's called a PCMCIA card slot to interface through that. But you would have to somehow bring that digital signal into that in order to watch it.
Okay, so let's see. It's got a USB TV tuner.
So it has a tuner in it?
On here, I think.
Okay. So you would have to install that, and then do you have cable in where you live?
No.
Or you don't? So you'd have to have some kind of digital converter.
Okay, you know, I would need a converter in the same way that I would need for like a television.
Yeah, you see, the digital converter, what it's for people that didn't have a digital converter and the TV signal changed from analog to digital,
right.
If you had rabbit ears on your TV, all of a sudden now you wouldn't get the signal.
Right.
So the digital converter interfaces with those rabbit ears to still receive the signal, but translate it so the TV can now, you know, so now you can now view it. In order for you to bring a signal into whether it's that laptop or a brand new laptop, you need to interface it to a digital converter to bring the signal in.
Okay, so that would be even the case with
a new
brand new laptop.
Correct.
Okay.
So if you have a digital tuner, you still need a converter to bring the signal
in.
Yep. It doesn't automatically get the signal just because it has a tuner on it.
Okay.
Yep. All right.
All right. Can I ask you one other question? Or,
sure.
Okay. I had a laptop that I used really regularly that was probably 5 years old. It had Windows XP Pro on it, and it was stolen.
Okay.
And I'm just wondering, since I had purchased this XP Pro but no longer have the computer, if I get another computer, am I allowed to install XP Pro on that second computer? Did that make any sense?
Yes, as long as you have the they're going to ask you for like a registration key.
Right.
As long as you have that information.
Okay.
Now, here's the kicker with Microsoft and trying to install operating systems. If it's an outright license for the computer and not an upgrade, you can install it on, you'll be able to, you know, install it on that hard drive.
Okay.
However, if they married it to like a particular manufacturer, sometimes like, you know, they might have an agreement with like eMachine or Gateway or HP, there may be some glitches because there might be something in the procedure that they're looking for the actual machine.
Okay.
But if it's just a license, standalone license to be installed on a computer, you know, in a hard drive, it'll more than likely work.
Okay.
If it's an upgrade, you can't install an upgrade on a new computer.
Okay.
It needs to have a version prior to that installed on it in order to take the upgrade.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Good luck.
Thanks very much for calling. Another person wonders whether or not removing unused icons from the screen speed up operating speed.
Well, removing unused icons actually does not really speed up the machine. It doesn't even really free up a lot of space because those icons don't really take up a lot of room. If they're being referred to in the system tray and they're not really being used, then turning them off will actually make the computer go faster. And we've talked about that where you click on start, click on run, and type in msconfig, and then go to the startup tab, and then look for what, you know, you can click them all off and then put them back one by one. I usually tell people, you know, write down what you've got checked off. And then if there are things that you don't want to run, but you discover that you really like them, you know, you can always put them back in. You just have to run through the procedure again. But you'll be turning off your computer, restarting it, and going up and down, you know, a couple of times just to get it right. But that'll, you know, speed up your computer.
Jim in Waukegan, your turn. Hi, Jim.
I've got a question. I've got Windows Vista on a home computer here.
Okay.
And it tells me that I think it's telling me it wants to do a backup, a full system backup.
Okay.
However, the recovery D drive is full, and then it so it never does that backup. And I'm not sure how to resolve this.
Okay. Well, somehow it's you've got it set up where it's trying to back up to another portion on your hard drive, that recovery portion, and whatever files it's referring to for doing the backup, there's not enough room on it. So what first thing is you need to have an external device or a DVD or a CD to back up your data files to, or an external hard drive or what they call a jump drive or a thumb drive, you know, where it's got 2, 4, 8 gig or whatever in terms of size, and you plug it into a USB port.
Yeah, and then I have those.
Okay. And then you need to go into your the backup utility within Vista and change the settings so you're directing it to whether it's a, you know, a CD, DVD, thumb drive, and so forth, or an external hard drive to do the backups, because it's referring to do it to the hard drive within your system, and there's not enough room anymore, so it can't do it.
Gotcha.
So and actually trying to back up onto the same hard drive is not a good procedure, because if you have the backup on the hard drive and the hard drive fails, then you have no backup.
Then you have no backup, yeah. There you have it. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Usually, if you haven't set it up, then you're probably trying to back up a lot more than you really need to.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing to go through and pick the files, you know, your data files, and not backing up programs and things like that, because they take up a lot of wasted space.
Yep. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, we have a goal of $12,000, I believe, for this hour. We're in the last 9 minutes of the drive for this program, and I tell you what, your gift now of $60 or $120 or $1,200 will help us continue to provide this important public service in the coming months. You can give online at WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552 with your contribution. Jim, still a ways to go.
That's right, Larry. We've got a goal of $12,000 for the program, and so far we've raised over $2,000 of that. So you are right in when you say we've got a ways to go at about $9,900. I appreciate hearing from Melinda in Kennan, who is a mail carrier. I think we rule with mail carriers across
the
state.
Yes, we do.
And she has already paid a membership this year, but was listening to the program and found it so captivating, must have been Peter, that she was listening to, and went home for lunch and made another pledge. So thank you so much for
Linda.
That. And thanks to everybody who's pledged so far during the show today and during the drive. 11 new calls from 26 people who have called in during the show. And they want to support Wisconsin Public Radio, and we hope that you do, too. Your contribution of $60, $120, whatever amount that you choose, will help us get there. So make your pledge online, WPR.org, or call us a toll-free at 888-202-2552.
You know, oftentimes when we're finished with a program, at the end of the show, the guest will say, boy, you've got great listeners, and that's right, and I want to thank our guests for being on the show, but they also thank us for listeners who obviously care so much and who ask so many great, intelligent questions. They've done, I know our guests have done other shows, and they know that Wisconsin Public Radio listeners, you are a special bunch. So thank you for being such thoughtful, active listeners. Thank you so much for your financial support. Makes all this possible. If you haven't pledged yet, here we are in the last 7 minutes of the drive for us, and there's only 35 or 37 minutes left overall. Don't put it off. If you haven't pledged now, go online at WPR.org or call us toll-free at 888-202-2552.
That's right. Don't put off donating to Wisconsin Public Radio. It just takes a few minutes to contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio at either WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. You'll have the good feeling of supporting this public radio station and the programs that you love. For instance, Larry Mueller's program, which you listen to Monday through Friday weekdays. And we try to make sure that there's a lot of information there that you will not find elsewhere, and the kind of information and entertainment package that you will not find anywhere. So if you enjoy this kind of radio and you have come to depend upon it and trust it, then why not pledge WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
The membership drive ends at 1 p.m. today. And so for this program, this is the end. The last 6 minutes, there's only 36 minutes left. So your financial support during this hour is really as critical as ever. And when we meet the overall goal for this drive, we're better able to plan for the future. Your financial gifts do this. They allow us to bring you the programs that you rely on. So take a moment now to think about how much Wisconsin Public Radio is worth to you, and then go online at WPR.org or calling us toll-free at 888-202-2552 to make your pledge.
Wisconsin Public Radio programs enrich your life. It's a statement that just stands without any anybody challenging that. For a pledge of $120 or more, the WPR member card will add even more enrichment to your life through savings at restaurants, B&Bs, and cultural attractions throughout Wisconsin and a couple of the surrounding states. You may end up dining at restaurants or visiting places you hadn't thought of trying before, and what you'll be able to do is recoup the amount of your investment through a few trips to a restaurant or maybe an overnight stay at a B&B or going to see some museums that you would like to attend. So pledge your support right now. $120 or more gets you the WPR member card. You can do that online at WPR.org or toll free at 888-202-2552.
And we're definitely in the last 4 minutes of your opportunity to get on board with Festa Monona on June 27th. If you've been thinking about contributing $1,200, look at it this way. It's $100 a month. If you want to do it that way, for you to contribute, have a chance to come and visit with myself and Joy Cardine, Scott Craven, Jim Packard, Cheryl Gasser. All of us will be there for a wonderful dinner put on by Patrick O'Halloran of Lombardino's Restaurant in Madison. We'll be dining outside. We'll be doing some boat rides, weather permitting. We'll be having some little giveaways. That'll be a lot of fun. So $1,200 might be in your future. If it's in our future, that means it's in your future for dinner with us on June 27th. So go online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Make that $1,200 contribution or any amount, whatever feels comfortable for you. But do it right now.
Think of the topics that you've heard on the program in the past and on the Ideas Network. You hear about politics, humanities, the environment, popular culture, lots of advice, history, food, you name it. Just look at a day's worth of program notes and you'll see a wonderful diversity of topics and views. It's a valuable service. It's a service worth supporting. It's unique in the state. Your contribution makes the programs possible. If you have not yet pledged, why not do so at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Well, what does making a pledge mean? When we pledge and you pledge, we pledge to bring you great programming every day. You pledge to support it with a contribution to any amount. So just go to WPR.org or call that 888-202-2552 number and make your contribution. And when you help pay the cost of this station, we'll make sure there's something interesting for you to listen to. That's our pledge to you. So go right now, WPR.org or to 888-202-2552. Call that number right now to make your pledge.
You know, you can support or show us support in listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio with a WPR logo reusable shopping bag for your web pledge at WPR.org. $35 or more, you can get this bag. Pledging on the web saves us some money. That's why this special thank you gift is only available with your pledge online at WPR.org. You'll use the bag again and again, and each time you'll be reminded that you value us and we value you. So go ahead, WPR.org.
We are now in the last about minute and a half here for your opportunity to pledge during this particular program. Still only 30 minutes left in the entire pledge drive. Want to thank Peter for being with us today, and thanks to everybody who's contributed and everybody who's called in with their great questions and comments. We really appreciate it. If you haven't contributed yet, though, this would be a wonderful time to do it in this last minute. Call us at 888-202-2552 or go online to WPR and make your contribution. Do it right now. Thanks again to everybody who's contributed. And again, if you haven't contributed yet, go 888-202-2552 or online to WPR.org.